This meeting is now being recorded.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Security Framework Drafting Team Meeting. Today is 2016, October 6th. So today we will continue with reviewing and discussing the draft that we have before us. So what we're looking at today in the Adobe Connect room right now is the draft that was provided by PSWG, and it's been in review for a couple of weeks, and it was discussed at our last meeting, and we will continue today. And I also have within the Adobe Connect room the Annex D that the registry team has provided, and we can look at that also. So let me start by giving the floor to Bobby, since he missed the meeting yesterday or last week, and see if he'd like to kick off the review for us. Go ahead, Bobby.
Sure. Yes, unfortunately, I couldn't be at the last meeting last week. I was on travel, but we did have Nick Shorey from the United Kingdom's National Crime Agency on the phone as well. So he was able, I think, to participate and provide some PSWG views on what we, I guess, had submitted a couple of weeks ago, and also the fact that I think the newest revision came from Alan and Annex B, if I'm correct. So with that being said, our newest version, I think we had submitted it a couple of weeks ago, and we had discussed it last week on the call, which I was not part of, and I think it focuses around the three tiers or three priorities insofar as response times, and I was wondering if that's what people wanted to talk about or discuss further today. So would you be able to let me know if that's what we're looking forward and talking to about today? Is that one of the main points?
Alan, would you like to respond to that?
Sure, absolutely. I believe so. Yes, Bobby, that will probably take a lot of the discussion today. We had made some points and some observations during the meeting last week, and Nick said that he would bring it back to the PSWG to see what steps we can go forward to better understand, I suppose, and to better give detail on those items. So that is what I would expect. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it didn't seem, based on Nick's evaluation, and Nick, since you're on the phone, please jump in if I'm missing anything. It seemed that the Tier 1 imminent threat to life or limb and also child exploitation was Tier 1, which would ask for a 24-hour response time. Tier 2 was a threat to Internet infrastructure, which would ask for a 48-hour response time, and I think the problem with that was that there needed to be more definition or clarity with that. I know that we did put in some hyperlinks to American definitions of what we consider critical infrastructures, and I think people wanted more explanation on that. And then the last definition was all other response times, which would be a request of 72 hours. So we can start from there. I think the first one is self-evident, the 24-hour, the imminent threat to life or limb, and also child exploitation. The second one, I think there needed to be clarification insofar as the link and what is defined as critical infrastructure, and we could try to do more as far as explanation with that. And the third one, I was under the impression from what I had heard that there didn't need to be a third category, but I would argue that we still need to have a set response time, even if it's in writing that, you know, it has been received and it's being worked on, that would be something that would be very helpful. And I know that is something that the PSWG is interested in. If there's kind of a tracking system or a way that when abuse reports are in there, that at least they're documented, and there is some way to say whether they are being explored or not. Now, we realize that some abuse complaints may be frivolous, that you may not know where they're coming from. There could be a number of reasons. But just the fact that, you know, they were received and they don't fall into a black hole, I think, will be very important. So that is all I had to say about those three categories, and I welcome any input from Alan or anyone else.
Okay. If I could jump in there then, please, Dennis. So it's Alan that's here from my side. Thank you very much, Bobby, for that. I think there was a few nuances definitely that you didn't cover there either as well. So for tier one, I think we can come back to that in a moment. Let's start with tier two. I think the major issue there from our point of view was the distinction that was being drawn between internet infrastructure and critical infrastructure. And again, just realizing, you know, where is the scope of this going, or where is it coming from even, because from an internet infrastructure point of view, that is fair enough. From a registry point of view, that we can, you know, there is some link there, but for critical infrastructure, we have no idea as to, you know, where does that end. So that was the one issue there, one of the issues there. With tier three, something you said there just kind of, I suppose, resonated with me, where you were talking about, you know, there might be frivolous ones and where is it coming from. I want to draw this back that it was envisaged, and this, please, people feel free to contradict me on this, but it was envisaged in this that when we're talking about these specific issues, that this was coming from law enforcement, local law enforcement, and a suitable jurisdiction as well. So one would hope that frivolous ones would not come through from that channel. But also, I mean, going across all three, I think a very important point is that, and this is something that I raised last week from a personal point of view, is that, you know, there needs to be more detail as to items such as, well, how do we confirm, how do we accept, can we reject the tiers? I mean, there's a few more questions around it that unfortunately I don't think that the detail provided covers. And that was where the main focus of our conversations were. So again, I open it up to the registries who, again, have much more experience, hands-on experience than I do as well in this. So again, feel free or please give your thoughts on that.
Maxime, go ahead.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. Actually, given the nature of these three items, I must say that effectively it says we have to have 24 hours available legal department, and it's beyond usual operators. They are not advanced in laws, so I'm not sure that it's feasible. We are not law enforcement, and on many items we cannot decide what is crime or not. And the threats to internet infrastructure and critical infrastructure, I'd say we will be buried in requests via emails and calls when something is wrong in some tiny ISP on the other side of planet, because formally it falls in the definition. So we need to use smaller theme. We don't have to use such broad definition. Thanks.
Go ahead, Brian.
Thanks, Dennis. This is Brian from Bala, PIR for the record. Bobby mentioned perhaps striking the third category altogether, and I think that where I land on that is I agree with that. I think that the third category reads way too broad. This echoes a comment I said last week that what's a crime in one jurisdiction or non life-threatening crime, no less, in one jurisdiction may be legal in another. Crime could cover something as simple as copyright infringement. or trademark infringement, and I just don't think that it has a place in a true security threat mitigation document. I think that the proper mechanism for that is a court order. Now, if all we're talking about is acknowledging the allegation that we law enforcement, that's different, but it's not clear to me that that's what we're talking about. We're talking about response times. If it's simply an acknowledgement within 72 hours and the response is we don't think this is an appropriate allegation for the registry to act on, that's one thing, but that's not clear to me in the document. Thanks.
Alan?
Great, thank you. And thank you, Brian, as well, and Maxine. Another thing that I kind of raised the middle of last week as well, and I just wanted to bring it a bit more specifically to the group, just so that we can ground ourselves and remind ourselves of the scope of the document that we're trying to come up with here, and that's going right back to the NGPC proposal. So if you want, I'll just read it out there very quickly. So it's the registry operators to respond to identified security risks that pose an actual risk of harm, notification procedures, and appropriate consequences, including a process for suspending domain names until the matter is resolved. So, I mean, the key word here is that they're to respond to identified security risks. So I do think that we must all frame our thoughts and our responses and our inputs to this document around the concept that when we are responding to something, it is already identified. Therefore, in my mind, that means that there is an agreement that it exists, and it's very hard to get that. I think we're going far too in-depth into how is the identification. There are other things out there as how the identification occurs. We're saying, I mean, this document has to be about those which were irrefutably existing, I think. Please, again, feel free to disagree with me. This is my own personal opinion, not necessarily that of the co-chair. So I would like to everybody to just consider what the scope is, and maybe that might help us going forward.
This is Bobby. Yeah, no, I don't see a problem. I mean, if these are identified security threats, I think we still have the issue of response times. And I think we're going to need some type of identified response times to deal with them. And, you know, if there's other categories, that we can frame them as, you know, we can certainly do that. But I think if there's certain identified security threats, such as, you know, imminent threats, internet infrastructure threats, such as botnets or DDoS attacks, whatever, I think those should be articulated insofar as giving guidance on how they should be prioritized. So I agree that, you know, they are identified, but there still needs to be a response time once they have been identified.
And just to respond, I suppose, again, it turns into a bit of a chicken and an egg situation as far as I'm concerned. That is, you know, how is something identified? I mean, we're discussing about, you know, one of the issues that seems to be coming through from comments I've heard is that, you know, again, there's differences in laws, there's differences in approaches, court orders needed, things like that. And that goes to the very core of what is something, what is accepted as an identified security threat. I think we're opening a huge can of worms getting into that, but at the same time, we'd be looking at an issue if we ignore that, because it is, again, for another endeavor to come up with how to identify, how to verify, and how to approve. And if we were to say in this one, well, if it is an identified threat, we will respond. If it is a high-level, you know, threat, we will respond within 24 hours. And we have that in our document. That doesn't actually really help anyone, because we're not going to agree on what is identified or not. And I really think this is where the issue is that we're pushing in this document too far, and we should be looking at, you know, maybe other endeavors as well. This document is only limited to those that we all agree are identified security threats. And it's a difficult one. I don't know how to move past, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, this is Bobby. How do we, so then what's the definition of an identified security threat? I mean, we have to come up with something. If this is going to be a security framework, there has to be some articulation of that. Otherwise, this document isn't going to be helpful, and it's not really going to say anything. Right now, it doesn't say too much, so we're trying to, you know, put some meat on the bone so that when people pick it up, they're going to be able to kind of have the guidance that they need. So I agree it's a chicken and an egg, but how do we articulate and identify a security threat then? Because that's what we were trying to do with, you know, if someone's coming into you, whether it's law enforcement or another public safety agency or maybe even the public, and they're like, okay, this is the identified security threat. How do we move forward?
And that is the discussion. I mean, I completely agree. I'm not posing an easy answer in that one, and I don't have an answer, and that's what I really want people to be able to discuss in this, I suppose, is that's the issue I'm seeing at the moment.
Well, to me, I mean, I'll give you a perspective. If there is something that a law enforcement or public safety agency or general public sees as a threat coming through on a domain or registry, you know, something is happening, and they're, you know, going to the registry, and they're like, look, this is happening. We've seen it. It's emanating from this domain name, and we need for you to take, you know, immediate action because it's an imminent threat. Isn't that kind of an identified security threat?
Yes, but to go to... Oh, sorry, yes, go on.
Maxim has his hand raised. I'd like to give him the floor.
Maxim, also for the record, actually for such imminent threats, we need to have this information via identified channel. So any third party in the world doesn't count here because it's going to be used for gaming. You know, I have my rival from the other hosting company, and I don't like him, so I hire a third person to call the registry and to say that they're going to kill all the bunnies in the forest, so you have to just delete this domain name. So the serious things should be reported only through authoritative channels, such as local law enforcement. That's it. In our jurisdiction, for example, it's the only way to have the fact of the crime established. It's the court order or the request of attorney office, maybe the request of police. That's it. If we do something without this proof, we will commit crime. And we're not going to do that. Thanks.
Alan, did you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. I've actually forgotten what I was going to say. I'm sorry, because I was thinking heavily on what Maxine was saying there. Yes, sorry. It is, again, the source of the identified threat. Again, I agree with what you're saying. I see completely what you're saying, Bobby, on this. However, if law enforcement is ringing up a particular registry operator in a country where their jurisdiction is not recognized, you know, that is the issue there, that turns into something that would be an identified threat potentially for somebody in the U.S., where it would be not an identified threat for somebody elsewhere in the world, and they might not accept that. So, I mean, I agree. Maxime is making a point there as well, which, you know, in principle I do agree with as well. Again, my difficulties, and I am throwing a huge spanner in the works by saying this, but I'm doing it purely so we can have this conversation. And that is that figuring out what is an identified threat is potentially not for this document. And that's where an awful lot of our energy is being focused at the moment, is figuring out what is identified or not. And I don't want to put too much weight on what this document ultimately is supposed to be. And again, I'm just trying to encourage a conversation on that. Please... open us to other people. What are their views on this?
Anybody else would like to speak? Go ahead, Sean.
Are you guys able to hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. From my look at this, I agree with Alan that there's this inherent challenge of when a report is made, how is it verified, and the decision process to take some action when it's issues of technical abuse. And I've said this a couple times already. As a registry, as a technical organization, we have a set of tools that we've developed over time to help with that. But when it's broader issues, it becomes more challenging. So, I mean, for example, threat to life or limb, would this be a threat to life or limb related to technical abuse, or would it be some other threat to life or limb? So could it be that someone is selling something on a website that could hurt someone, or is it that the website is associated with an organization that would hurt someone? And so when you kind of stray from this technical abuse, it becomes more challenging to verify a claim like this. So that's just my input on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Anyone else? Can someone propose a step forward? How do we resolve this?
Dennis, it's Alan here. I seem that I'm coming across as being very standoffish today. I'm not. I'm just trying to again have this conversation out there. So to propose going forward, perhaps we should look at saying the question of what an identified security threat is something for a different process. However, in this instance, perhaps we can move forward by saying, once something has been identified by whatever that process is which needs to be done, then we might be more comfortable in stating that, yes, we would then respond within a particular time frame. I'm again being devil's advocate here. That it would be much more comfortable because there isn't that same question then of, well, what if we disagree? Well, what if it's not within our jurisdiction? It's a difficult one. It definitely is a difficult one. But perhaps it is the way forward. And again, focusing on what this scope is of this document and ensuring that we put together a workable document once other things are taken care of in different forums as well. I mean, there's many facets going on here, many different strands to Spec 11, and we should make sure that we remain distinct and separate in those approaches.
Sean, did you want to speak again? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, old hand.
Okay.
If maybe I could just jump in one more time, just kind of add to that. Another important thing as well is we pay a lot of deference to it in the document about the registry operators' own term or own registration terms and what they would do individually in a particular instance. And there's an awful lot of weight to be put on that. So if we can get past this concept of what is an identified threat and again leave that to something else, then it is really up to, you know, the bonds and the links that we have forged with our local law enforcement, with maybe not even local law enforcement, with trusted third parties ourselves that as a registry we would be able to take on board. And again, we will then be able to follow such timelines, but again, with our own agreements that it is a voluntary, as is the spirit of this document, that it is voluntary. So again, pay deference to, you know, relationships outside of that, which is set down in a document such as this, and also pay heedance to the fact that we do have our own ways of working within our own jurisdictions and with our own niche businesses.
Is everybody okay with what Bobby or Alan is suggesting? If so, I'd like to hear it. Or are there opposition not clear to me because everybody's so silent here.
This is Bobby. I think what we are going to have to do as the PSWG, since this is kind of at a crossroads, I think we need to go back to the PSWG and the GAC, kind of maybe for a reevaluation on some of these things. So, if Alan, if you want to propose those things and send it in the new document, that would be good. But I think we're coming up close, and I think we're going to have a lot of pushback from the PSWG on some of these things. So I think we're just going to have to wait until we actually get to India and discuss these in person with the PSWG and also with the GAC. And I know that we were trying to set up a meeting in Hyderabad. So I think what may be helpful is if we have a session maybe at the beginning, since this is a very long meeting, and discuss things and maybe hash it out and discuss it with the GAC, because we are going to, the PSWG will be making formal presentations to the GAC itself, and then maybe at the end of the Hyderabad meeting. Because I think at this point, going back and forth on emails, and I have to go back, and Nick Shorey is on the call too, and he can also let you know that we have a hard time with governments over, you know, so many continents, as I'm sure you do as well. So I think the proposal, you know, Alan, I think it would be great if you could pass us your latest suggestions. But considering that we do have some serious concerns, I think we would have to go back to the PSWG and then the GAC and let them, you know that, you know, we're at this juncture. So that would be my recommendation at this point.
Dennis, this is Alan here. I just want to be very, very, very clear in what I'm saying. This is not me representing. This is me as myself giving a suggestion to move forward. This is not me as co-chair representing the registries. I've not discussed this directly with the registries, but if people are on board and agree with me, we can have that discussion, and I'd be more than happy to provide that together. But just to be clear, this was my personal view, not necessarily that of the co-chair. I'm just trying to suggest one way or the other, because I think this is another way that could break the registry's issue with it, because again, it is, I think we are all focused on the wrong part. But absolutely, I completely understand where you're coming from if that is the case.
Hey Dennis, it's Crystal. I'm on the phone. Can I jump in the queue?
Please do.
Thanks, Alan, and everyone for the conversation. I want to echo what Sean said earlier, that definitely, you know, life and limit's not a defined term, but I think what we're missing here, while we nitpick, is that there is tons of common ground between what registries action and what the public safety working group would want us to action. There are indisputable security threats that we all agree on and we all deal with on a regular business basis. So, and I think there are terms we can find rather than identifying it, but maybe it's around words like indisputable or agreed upon, or you don't have to define them all out, but make reference to the fact that there are security threats that we agree are security threats and we will action. And then that way, if there is a dispute, it falls outside of that definition. I think maybe that's the better way forward rather than saying it's completely undefined.
Any response to that, Bobby? Anyone from PSW?
No, that would be, I think that would be great. You know, we totally understand this is a voluntary document, and I know that we've shied away from calling it best practices, but we really, the PSWG really needs it if we're going to meet the spirit of the GAC advice and, you know, part of the contractual obligation to respond to the security threat. It really needs to say something. There has to be some concreteness and tangibleness, that's a word, to it. So we need to get close to that. You know, I know that there's variances of law and the registries themselves, but there has to be something that where we have a document that's going to meet that spirit of what the GAC is trying to say. And right now we're still a little bit away from that, and that's why we're trying to come closer. So however we can get closer to that, that would be great. And the suggestion by Crystal sounds very good. So if there's ways that we can, meet that. And again, we realize it's voluntary, but there has to be some specificity to it, where we would, where the GAC, because we have to report to the GAC, is going to be accepting of what we're trying to do, so that when they read it, they know it's saying something very, very concretely. Even though we're not spelling it out, word by word, offense by offense, security threat by security threat, and, what people are going to do minute by minute in response to that security threat. But as long as they will have the ability to pick up the document and see that, okay, well, I know they're going to respond and I know what's going to trigger a response, that would be good. But having things like reasonable and maybe and as appropriate, those things aren't going to, I just know the GAC and the PSW, and those things aren't going to get them to their comfort level that they're going to need. So any way we can get to that, I think, would be great. But I think, if you guys have suggestions on how, or if, like I said, if you want to take another shot, or we both take a shot at putting some of that language in there, that would be great. So I hope that's helpful.
Maxim, you have the floor.
Maxim Alzuba, for the record. As I understand, GAC wants us to have obligations, and obligations don't come alone with voluntary in contractual language. So it seems that the task our group has is bit in the other direction that we're going to achieve by establishing voluntary framework. Thanks.
Thank you. What I've heard so far is that there's kind of common ground, and we have to find the words that we can use in this document that we're both comfortable with, and then how do we best get to that is the question then. And can we do that right now as on this call, or are we saying that it's not practical, or does the PSWG have to pull back and have its own meeting?
Yes, this is Bobby. Yeah, I think we would have to go back and have our own meeting with the PSWG and inform the GAC at this point. And then we can reevaluate and see what is going to be the best way forward. Maybe the best way forward is providing enhanced language or more clarifying language that is more in line with some of the suggestions on this call, or it could be another route. I'm not quite sure. But I think at this point, I don't think we're going to get to that point on a call. So I think we need to, as the PSWG, I know I have a responsibility to go back and report, be transparent. I would have to do that at this point based on some of the comments and suggestions today. So that is what I would, I think that's what we from the PSWG would have to do.
Anyone else? From PSWG, Nick. Okay, Nick is agreeing.
Dennis, it's Crystal again. Can I just ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, and I apologize that I'm driving, so I don't have the document in front of me. Where are we on time frame? So, like, Bobby, when would you have to report back to the PSWG versus it might be more expedient to have the registry have a call ourselves next week and then put forth language at the end of next week that you could take back at that point versus I would hate for us to all leave this meeting in a place where we think we're in disagreement when I really do believe there's so much common ground.
Crystal, this is Bobby. Yeah, I think that would be great if the registries wanted to have another call based on your suggestions and then provide that input. That would be great.
Yeah, this is Alan here. Absolutely agree, and thank you for the suggestion on that. And again, I will point out that, you know, the comments made are purely to get conversation started again, showing the boundaries and showing, you know, how we can move forward. And I completely agree with Crystal. There's so much common ground within the document at the moment. It's just a matter of getting that consensus and getting that agreement and showing people, you know, this is what a workable document can come out of. And I think it's very important that we understand that. So absolutely, I think we should do that. And again, focusing on the positives and keep this moving forward.
So it's Crystal again. So maybe, Dennis, next week, instead of a meeting of the whole group at this time, we just do the registries.
Okay, that's one suggestion. So we can have a registry call at the same time, and maybe PSWG can have their call at the same time. And then a week later, the entire group meet once more before Hyderabad.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And in the meantime, we can exchange more documents.
Right. I'd like to see some proposed, you know, language in writing, because I know that we've been looking at the same words and had lots of conversation about it. But until we, you know, both sides propose changes to it or edits to it that we can review, it's hard to see the common ground, I think. So the action item then is for each group to have its own meeting and maybe propose revised words. And I do want to combine the annex to the same document so that we have one document that we're all dealing with. And let me just share the annex with you, Annex B. So this was proposed by the registries team, and I like to have this combined into one document, if everybody's okay with that, as a draft, so that we carry one document.
I have no objection there, if anybody else doesn't.
Okay, Bobby just wrote he agrees. Richard agrees.
Yeah, I think we can agree. This is Bobby. I think we could agree to speak one more time before Hyderabad. So I won't be available on the 20th, but I can be on the 27th.
Okay.
And I don't want to stop the show if everyone is agreeing upon the 20th. Maybe Nick Shorey can take the lead on that call. I just won't be able to talk during the week of the 17th or the 21st, as I will be away.
I see. So the next week's meeting, we're supposed to be the 13th, so we're not going to have the entire team meeting, but the 13th we're reserved for the individual groups meeting. And on the 20th, we will have the drafting team meeting, entire team. And yes, we would like to have Nick represent TPSWG on your behalf, if that's okay with you. And I'm not sure whether we had the 27th as a meeting already scheduled. I don't think we did, actually, because it's so close to the travel date to the Hyderabad. But we can certainly schedule another meeting if the team agrees with that. But we have some time to decide on that. So going forward, let's see. Nick says two meetings in. Okay, Nick is requesting two meetings. Now, Nick. Okay. Let me make that request. We're sort of beyond the time frame for session request for the Hyderabad, but I will go ahead and make the request on your behalf. So for the Hyderabad, what we had scheduled was each team has a closed session on your own, and then we have one open session right now for the entire team. So if I understand Nick correctly, Nick is suggesting that we add one more open session. Is that correct? Can you confirm? Okay. Everybody agree with that request? Then there's no objections. I can certainly make the request. I can't guarantee you that I'll be successful at this point, but I will certainly try to schedule another meeting.
Hey, Dennis, when you say open meeting, do you mean open to the public or open because it's the two groups?
Open to the public.
I'm just wondering and thinking out loud, would it be somewhat useful instead of our two separate closed meetings to have a closed meeting with the group of people who have been involved in drafting this? It just might be nice to not open it up to people who have not been on all of these calls and to really be able to drill down to some of these words in person with each other.
Interesting suggestion. How does everybody else feel about that?
And I get to suggest that because I'm not going to be there. So I'll let the other people do it.
I think traditionally, I mean, not tradition, but in the past, the drafting team, the entire team meeting have been open. Is that correct? And I like last time you guys met, wasn't it open to the public? Bobby, can you confirm?
Sorry, I'm back again. Yeah, sorry, go on. Yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is Bobby. I was going to say, sure. I know for the DAC and the PSWG, they always get a little sensitive about private meetings. So yeah, we can do a working session as the first one, and then after that, an open one. Was that the suggestion?
Yeah, I think that was Crystal's suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good to me. As long as
okay.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, so we're talking about four meetings in Hyderabad then altogether. Right now what's submitted is two closed meetings, one for each team separately, and one open meeting for the entire team. And we're talking about adding one closed meeting for the entire team.
So a total of three meetings? Is that
For each one of you, it'll be three meetings, but for me, it'll be four meetings if you are following that. So two entire team meetings, one is closed, one is open, and then we're having PSWG only meeting closed, and then registries only meeting closed. Does that make sense?
The PSWG meeting will have to, I know that they're trying to have all the meetings like open to the public. So it's, when you say the four meetings, two teams are meeting, are those, I'm sorry, now I'm getting confused. The two meetings are both public or both working meetings, and then you said there's one PSWG and one registry, so now I'm confused. I thought it was just, we're just trying to do one up front and one at the back end. So I don't know now. Now I'm confused. So okay. I'm sorry. Just say it again.
Let me see if I can write it into the chat though. And I'll speak as I write. So there's four meetings altogether. So number one, PSWG only closed meeting. That's number one. Number two, registry only closed meetings. And these were requested so that each team has a chance to work among themselves. And then number three, we have, SFDT open meeting. So this is a big meeting. Everybody gets together. It's public. Now, fourth one that's being suggested, not yet scheduled or submitted, is the SFDT closed meeting. That's what Crystal was suggesting. So I'm counting four meetings altogether. Does that help?
Yeah, we'll just, I know for the PSWG, I'll just have to run that by them because there's a lot of other meetings going on. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, this was entirely for you. And you can choose not to have it, obviously, because it was for the PSWG only anyway, and the registries wanted to have a registry-only meeting. And those two were requested to occur before the SFDT open meeting, so you'll have a chance to do face-to-face working session on your own as a separate group before you meet as a total group.
Okay. This is Bobby. So, we can go with that fun. I think what we were thinking of, what Nick was saying, was to have one meeting at the beginning with everybody and one meeting at the end with everybody. So, and then what you're suggesting is two closed meetings where the PSWG meets on its own and the registries meet on its own. Is that what we're trying to do?
Okay. So before this call, and before Crystal had suggested it, we already had three meetings submitted. The first three were already submitted. Now, the fourth one is the new idea that Crystal has suggested that we're trying to add. So,
okay, and that's the closed meeting, a working meeting between the PSWG and the registries. Is that the fourth new meeting?
Correct. Because, yes, that's exactly right.
So okay.
Ideally, the fourth meeting that Crystal has suggested, ideally it would happen before the open meeting. I think that's what you would want. And I'm going to try to accommodate that request. But at this point, as I said, we're kind of beyond the time frame for submitting session requests. So we'll see what we can do. Now, I was just thinking out loud, if PSWG does not need the closed meeting, we can take that spot and use it for the entire group too. So let me know quickly.
Okay, we'll do. Yeah, this is Bobby. I'll send it out to the PSWG, but I think that sounds like a good idea. And you already have it down anyway. You said that's already pre-existing, correct?
Yes, exactly. And PSWG,
so then we'll keep that. It's, yeah, no, we'll keep that.
Okay. Now, it's 7:53, so we need to close this meeting. So the action items are, number one, we're going to cancel the drafting team meeting for the entire team for next week, but we are going to schedule the registries only team meeting on your behalf. Now, PSWG, I don't think that I am scheduling that. I think you're doing that on your own, right? Can you confirm that, Bobby? Do you need my help in doing that?
No, we'll arrange that.
Exactly. Okay, good. So the registries only will meet here at the same time, and a different we have a different room for you. Other way connect room, and we'll let you know when we send that out.
Thank you, Dennis. Apologies. My connection is going in and out at the moment, so I'm having a lot of issues, so apologies if I haven't been present.
I see that. Yeah, I wonder, I hope it's not our new room, but it concerns me a little bit. And then I hope you were following this. I've been chatting, put it in the chat, so that it's clear for you, the four meetings, and we're in agreement that that's what we're going to try to do. So two weeks from now, we're going to come together. So in between, what I would expect is each team, meaning registry and PSWG, to be looking at the document and see if you can propose edits that you might find certainly acceptable to you, but acceptable to the other party. As Crystal points out, there's a ton of common grounds, more common grounds than not. And I feel like, we can get to a place where, you know, maybe both sides is not completely happy with, but something that we can live with. Keeping in mind that this is a framework that is voluntary. So, if that's all clear to everyone, we are going to close the meeting. Any word from Alan and Bobby before I go, before we close?
Just Alan here, now that I'm back in. Absolutely, completely agree with what you said there. And again, you know, this is all in the spirit of getting the conversation, just moving it forward and coming up with a document that we're both very happy with. So thank you.
Yes, this is Bobby. Same here. Thank you again.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to stop the recording, and then we'll see everyone 2 weeks from now. And